Today is Easter Sunday. The scripture lessons are from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57, and the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Today's message is titled, Death Defeated, Salvation Won. Hear the word from the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at the 51st verse. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, then the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There ends the first lesson, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Again, this is the prayer from St. Jerome of the 4th century. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy Word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that Word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is written, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It is written, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. It is written, Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Would any of these words have been written if not for what occurred to this Jesus in Jerusalem those many years ago? For there had been many other traveling rabbis. There had been many other traveling through the land claiming to be Messiah. Like it was a job. They took up a job and there'd be a traveling rabbi Messiah to get people to feed them and support them, give them places to sleep at night. There was many like that. But what made this one different? What really brought about a change in the people that followed him? What made the apostles, the ones that he called and named apostles, what made the apostles continue in their preaching, proclaiming to the far ends of the earth, even as they faced persecution after persecution, hardships that we don't understand, till the day that they were executed for what they taught, executed for what they proclaimed, killed for their testimony that this Jesus was different from anybody else. This Jesus, this Messiah, this Christ, this Jesus rose from the dead. The crucified one is the risen one. And this crucified, risen one, this Jesus Christ, is the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God, yes, was crucified and rose from the dead on the third day. All four Gospels testify, Jesus betrayed, Jesus crucified, Jesus dead and buried. All four testify on the first day of the week, that is Sunday, early in the morning, the tomb was empty. Jesus, who was buried, who died and was buried, is now alive. This Messiah, this Christ, rose from the dead. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 later today again. But this is how chapter 15 begins in 1 Corinthians. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then all the apostles, and at last of all He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. This gospel, the gospel Paul preached, Peter preached, the apostles preached, all of them preached, the gospel that's been preached through the generations, through the eons, this gospel is the gospel by which you are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised on the third day. Paul lists the witnesses, Peter, the 12, more than 500 at one time, most still living. Go ahead, talk to them. You'll find out what I'm preaching to you is true. James, this James listed here, is Jesus' half-brother, who would become the leader of the Jerusalem church. You know that James and his brothers and sisters that wanted to take Jesus away because they thought he was crazy? Well, now that brother of Jesus is a leader of the church and seen Christ alive. Others of the church, finally, Paul himself on that road to Damascus, saw Jesus Christ alive. This is very hard to fathom. A dead man rising to life. The resurrection. An actual physical bodily resurrection. No simple, it's just a spiritual resurrection. No, an actual flesh and bone. Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb is empty. It is written in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." The scene is the upper room behind locked doors. The disciples, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Flesh and bone. Flesh and bone. Thomas wasn't there. Thomas insisted on seeing the flesh and bone. A week later, Jesus appears. "Thomas, put your finger here. Place your hand here." It's recorded in the Gospel of John. "Do you have something to eat?" Here in Luke chapter 24, Jesus ate the broiled fish in their presence. Flesh and bone, munching and crunching on broiled fish. A very physical, flesh and bone, bodily resurrection. He was alive, though he was dead before. He is alive. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning verse 12 now. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless." Well, you might as well go home right now, right? "Our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." 1 Corinthians chapter 15 there. If Christ has not been raised, you are still in your sins. You see, the faith, The faith hinges on the fact that Christ rose from the dead. Very physical, bodily resurrection. Christ not raised from the dead. Faith is futile and useless. We're all lost in our sins. Preaching is useless. Faith is futile. That is, if Christ was not raised from the dead. But what if? What if all this actually is true? Jesus rose from the dead. An actual man who was stripped and beaten, droplets of blood flowing down his brow from the cruel crown of thorns crushed down upon his head, sweating from the excursion of carrying a cross with a back torn to shreds from the scourging, stumbling again and again along the road so many times up to the hill that another had to be pulled from the crowd to carry the cross. Then those nails driven in his hands, nails driven deep into his feet, into the wood, solidly into the wood, to hold him in place on the cross as the cross was raised up high on the hill. It's cruelty beyond cruelty for our senses to truly grasp the moment. Look up. See the man heaving for his breath on the cross beneath the sign posted by Pilate, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Women weeping. Centurions gambling for his clothes, gasps of breath punctuating the air, insults hurled up, bitter wine offered to, breathing his last. Now you see a limp, dead body hanging on the cross. Let's make sure. Grab a spear, pierce him into the chest, penetrating into the heart. Centurions know how to execute. Jesus of Nazareth was dead. Take down quickly before the Sabbath preparation begins. Take him down quickly. Carry him to a nearby tomb given by Joseph of Arimathea. The weeping women, they know where Jesus is laid. They know where the tomb is. It's written in Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph, that's Joseph of Arimathea, and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the command. These followers of Jesus were not imbeciles. They were not stupid. They didn't get lost. They knew what happened, and they knew where the tomb was that Jesus was laid in. They saw, and their tears flowed in great sorrow, seeing their beloved Jesus die. And now they have to wait till the Sabbath passes to properly attend to his body. That was their plan. Sabbath pass, then attend properly to his body. John chapter 20, beginning of verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." The stone rolled away. The tomb is empty. Why? Why would anyone do that? Who could do that? When there's a Roman guard stationed there, and a seal was placed on the stone of the tomb with a penalty of death on them all if they fail in their duty. The Pharisees knew of Jesus saying, "After 3 days I'll rise again." It's written in Matthew chapter 27 that on the Saturday the Pharisees went to Pilate saying that Jesus said he would rise on the third day. And so with a request to Pilate, they had the tomb secured with a seal and a guard. Pilate said, "Seal the tomb, place a guard." After the stone was rolled away, Matthew 28 tells us, it testifies that on the first day of the week, the stone was rolled away. The guards saw all that happened, and so they went running to the chief priests, reporting all that had happened. The chief priests bribed them with money, bribed the soldiers to say the disciples came during the night and took the body of Jesus away. The chief priests also promised these guards, these soldiers, to protect them for the governor, enforcing the penalty of death for failing in their duty. Step back in time now. Step back your time. Evening is coming. The Sabbath is almost over. Sleep. Try to get some sleep. Try to figure out what to do next. The first day of the week is now coming. It comes in the morning. No one notices. Mary Magdalene slips out early. A couple of the other women go with her too. You're just worn out. You're tired of crying. Painful. It's so painful. You just bury your head. I mean, that flashing the sign of that, seeing this dead body hanging on the cross that just is forever etched in your mind. And so you just put your head down. You just try to bury yourself under the covers. You try to go back to sleep. Pound, bang, pound. Such a racket at the door as Mary cries, "The stone is removed from the tomb. The Lord's not in the tomb. The tomb is empty." I mean, the commotion that fills the room at her words and at her pounding at the door. Peter and John, they race. They begin racing. Well, we learn John runs faster than Peter because John outruns him. I mean, the others stirring too, to the tomb. They all go to, they know where the tomb is. They're racing to the tomb. All that pent-up emotion. I mean, can you imagine the emotions that come flowing out as their muscled legs pound the ground to race to the tomb? And they're racing, that powerful muscles carrying them to the tomb. What do they find? The linens lying there. Jesus? Where's Jesus' body? He's not there. No body. The cloth that was around his head, it's carefully folded up. He's not there. And belief begins to bloom like those first flowers of spring coming up. They're breaking forth with new life. The color starts coming back. Overcome the grayness of winter with the color of spring. And faith starts blooming in them. The empty tomb. Jesus died. The body that was placed in the tomb, he's not here. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Destroy this temple in 3 days. I will rebuild it." Jesus said, "On the third day, I will rise." Jesus said, remember when he was outside Lazarus' tomb? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," when he called Lazarus back to life. Jesus said, "As the Father has life in himself, the Father has granted the Son to have life in himself." Jesus said he had the authority to lay down his life and the authority to take it up again. On the cross, Jesus laid down his life for us. And on the third day, he took up his life for us. The empty tomb. The reality of the empty tomb. The reality of Jesus being alive after being very much dead and buried. It makes this very clear. The gospel we preach is the truth. Salvation in Christ, and Christ alone. It's the gospel Peter preached before the rulers and elders. It's recorded in Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. You know, after they healed the paralytic, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you in Jesus' name. Rise and walk." For that good deed, Peter and John got arrested. And so now they're explaining their actions. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. "If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone." That's referring to Jesus. "He," Jesus, "is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone." And then Peter goes on to proclaim very clearly, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Salvation found in no one else. Salvation only in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Why only in Christ Jesus? Because Christ Jesus is the crucified and risen one. The only one. He's the unique, only crucified and risen one. the risen one. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And this is in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. Which Paul quotes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, referring back to Isaiah 25. Hear the full context from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all of the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Death has been swallowed up. How do you know that? Christ rose from the dead. Death is swallowed up. Death has been defeated. How do you know that? Christ rose from the dead. Salvation is ours. Salvation is ours. How do you know that? Christ rose from the dead. Christ in his suffering has procured our salvation. Rejoice. Death defeated. Salvation won. How do you know? How do you know this very simple truth? And it's summed up in a very easy way to proclaim. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's how you know. Death is defeated. Salvation won. Salvation in Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. All that is behind. And Christ lives. You live. The imperishable must come. So the mortal must be put aside. The perishable must be put aside. It's a mystery. But it's yours. You have victory. You have won over death already. How do you know? Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And amen.